The word of God is filled with men and women of God who became selfish with the vision of God, so much so that they sacrificed for the knowledge and the increase of knowledge and revelation and of Jesus and God. And that is my sole focus. As you get older, you understand in life what's really needed. We are just all privileged because we have intimacy with God. I understand how unjust man is, but man's hand in judgment does not affect God at all, who has had the mind to counsel God. And just for the sole fact that he decided before we got here that even though man has made decisions about us and decisions about who we are, it didn't change God's decision about what he has done for us and who he is to us, and that didn't sway his adoption for us through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that to me, saints of God, is everything. That and it breaks the spirit for me, it broke the spirit of depression, and it broke the spirit of just lawlessness in my life. But the fact that God cared enough, regardless of who didn't, he did. And I have just as you have, and many other people have suffered great injustices in the hands of people and been very unjust towards other people. Praise God. But I tell you, the Spirit of God will break that spirit off of our lives, because when something becomes normal, it becomes a standard in your life, and it becomes a spirit. It is a spirit of that place. I was writing from, and we're going to get into some word tonight. I'm sorry. We're still in the introduction, but I tell you, the Holy Spirit is stirring some things tonight. Thank you, God. He's stirring some things. As always, he's always up to something. Hallelujah. Praise God. I remember driving to, I've driven from one coast to the other, not in one trip, but Brother Marcus has a vehicle now that has over 300 and something thousand miles on it that still runs to this day. And we have driven for ministry purposes from one end of the country to the other. And, you know, I miss those times. I really miss those times because it was just, I'm a goer anyway. I just like to go, and I like to get things done and just go. But this one particular trip, I was headed to California, and I remember going through, you know, I went through the New Mexico and Arizona. And if you've ever made that, I forget what the highway is. I think it's 60. I can't remember, but there's a long strip of just nothing. And when I say nothing, it's the brush, the road, and you and the other drivers on the road. And at the time I left, and at the time I got there, there wasn't many drivers on the road. So man, it was interesting. And so as soon as I hit New Mexico, and I got out of Texas and I hit New Mexico, and I wouldn't say a check in my spirit, but I could tell my spirit was on high alert. And I thought to myself, wow, what is this? And I knew it was new to me because I had never been to New Mexico or Arizona before. And my first thought was, well, because it's new to you. And so as I continue to drive, along certain stretches, gas stations are pretty desolate, or not just desolate, but few and far between. And so, but as I begin to travel this road to get to Southern California, I could feel the activity of the enemy. And it was like the Holy Spirit began to, as I had the word playing on the radio, you could sense the spirit of that place and the bondage in which it has, it was apparent that had been there way before any of us had entered into this world. And you could feel the ancient spirits of bondage. And this is not a slight on culture or anything. This is just things that were against the spirit, that were anti-Christ. They were anti-spirit. And so, you know, I was really alert, I would say. And you realize that things have been that way for so long that it becomes normal. And things have been conditioned that way for so long that have become normal. And I begin, and the Holy Spirit began to tell me about generational teaching and how people will teach curses. They will teach curses. And yes, sin is a curse, and we were born into sin, and how a cursed thing becomes so normal, normalizing a cursed thing. And so there's some other revelations that the Holy Spirit had given me about that, but I say all that to say this, thanks to God, that Christ is ever present, even in the darkest places. And so as I drove through, of course, I was driving through, I didn't stay, because those weren't my states of residence. And the Holy Spirit began to minister to me about how we as believers, every day, we move through places that, and speaking of not just places, but people that have been, you know, that have been taught a cursed thing, and taught, generationally taught some things that that have been there way before you, but they still affect you. And how it is so important for us to realize that we're in it, but we can't be of it, because things can be so normalized, we will, even as believers, we'll start thinking, well, this is just normal. Hallelujah. Or this is just how it is. And this is not the place for us as believers to reside, so to speak, in that place of normalcy, as far as the world goes. But we need to make the kingdom normal. Praise God. The works of the Spirit, normal. And not to denigrate in any way or downplay the works of the Spirit, because His glory is glorious. But we need to make it normal. Hallelujah. We need to make miracles, or not us, but seeking God so much that we stay in that mind frame of Jesus, of that this is just how it is. Jesus would heal a leper, and this is how it is in the kingdom. You know, Jesus would heal a woman with an issue of blood who was bent over for, I believe some passages say, 18 years. And Jesus healed her. And that was the norm. Just as we get so excited about seeing God move, Jesus was so, not that he was unaware, but when he experienced it, he was, I can imagine he was so taken back by all of the damage that sin had done, and the enemy had done, experiencing these situations and experiencing people in these certain states for so long. But it didn't stop the power of God. It didn't. It didn't at all. It didn't at all, saints. And so Jesus created created a place of habitation for the children of God, not just a place of visitation. And we're passing on from habitation, or from visitation to habitation, to a place that is earmarked with that is earmarked, that is by God. That God is establishing things in us, and has established things in us, where doesn't mean we don't have attacks. Hallelujah. But the expectancy is for us to win through the glory of God. The expectancy is to get to overcome. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So let's get into some things today. Thank you, God. But yes, if y'all are ever in need of prayer, the ministry is always standing with you. We thank God for everybody who has planted financially. First of all, we thank everybody who has who always stands in the gap for prayer for us, because we are praying for you. And we thank God for all those who planted financially. We bless God. I thank God for all the testimonies behind the seeds that you have planted. And we thank God. We thank God for each and every last one of you. Praise God. But we're going to get into some things tonight. We're going to get into some things. Y'all turn with me to Isaiah 11. And the title of this message is Ensign. Ensign. E-N-S-I-G-N. Ensign. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm excited, saints of God, about this word tonight. It's going to be a small teaching. Praise God. That I pray that it continues to, the word is always going to open up your eyes. Praise God. I was talking to my natural brother, and I have a certain brother that I talk to, and you have to cut away some time, because when the Spirit starts moving, he starts revealing, speaking, healing. It is powerful. The word in itself is powerful. No, you know, when you hear a word from somebody, and let's be honest, saints of God, let's be real. The integrity of that word and the power behind it and the is you're just like, it go in one ear and out the other. It's not because of the vessel, so to speak, not because you got something against the vessel, but because you know the origin of that word. Hallelujah. You know where the source of that word is coming from, and it is not from an integrity field place. Let's be real, saints of God. Everything that is and word in the spirit realm, God's word is currency. It is the ultimate currency in the spirit, because it holds the weight of itself. The dollar bill is printed on paper, but it's backed by the Federal Reserve. It is backed. The word of God is currency, thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And everything has to have a backing. So when you see Elijah against the prophet of Baal, one prophet, against 500 prophets of Baal. He could do that because he knew what was backing him. Hallelujah. I don't care if you don't have the support of man. If you have the support of God, it's a wrap. I don't care if the Chinese army is outside of your house. Praise God. And this is what God wants believers to get to, is get to the place that it does not matter about the protractors, the insurrectionists, the terrorists, and I'm not talking about ethnicity here. I'm talking about the true terrorists, the ones that are trying to fold you and move you away from the vision that God has given you. This is the great debate. Believers, we should never, ever, hallelujah, never, ever have the mentality or something that we think, and we're all on different, in this different level. I get it. I understand. I've been there. Still there. That things will try to make you debate the authenticity of God's word. God's word is bigger than man. In fact, God's word created man. And so we get into the place of and I'm going to be real. People will tell you all day long, well, God said. And I'm not, I know God speaks. I know he still. But it is so important that we know the voice of the Lord, and we know that God is speaking this. And see, I can stand on something. We can stand on something when it comes, when it's backed by God. We can have a solid foundation. This is why God backed this covenant, not with your lamb, but with his lamb. Not that the law was flim-flammy, but he could not stand on your ability to give. Or the blood of your goats and your lamb, your offering. So the covenant for you, it had to come from him, because he knew that that'll stand. Hallelujah. And in the same way, praise God. Prophecies can be tricky. These things can be tricky, but the word of God is straight as an arrow. Hallelujah. We're just gonna read some. We're gonna teach some things tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. I've been in places, and I'm going to be as honest as I can with you, saints of God. I've been in places in ministry where I've heard people tell me that, and they were married, and told me their wife that God had given them another wife with no justification and no biblically backed reasonings for divorce. And they told me that God had given them a new wife. And in my mind, I was saying, well, God then gave you over to your lusts. Because if you think God is going to minister to you unrighteousness, you are sadly mistaken. So when we don't know the word, truth be told, people make up the word in their mind. I'm just going to be real with you, saints of God. People will make up things for what they want. Very dangerous place. And this is very, very dangerous place. They defer to their feelings as their God. And so I know you're asking, Brother Marcus, why are we going into this today? I don't know. The Holy Spirit will reveal all. So today, when I was in my mediation and meditation time, however you want to call it, the Bible calls Jesus the great mediator. Well, God, what do you want to talk about tonight? And he says, I want to talk about the standard, the inside of believers, because this is the only thing that will last. This is the thing that will overcome, this is the thing that causes the enemy to back up. Hallelujah.
Praise God. What did I tell you? Isaiah 11.
And we'll start in 10. Praise God. So just as the case, just as we were talking about how people were making up, making up words according to the God of this world and the gods, because he's not a God. The Bible calls him the prince of this world, has become a God in their minds. Nothing new. Nothing new, saints of God. Same things you're seeing now. Repeat. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just repeat. And so, Isaiah was a lone gunman, if you will, in the sense that he had the full backing of God. He had the full authority. He was authorized to operate. And see, the thing is, people think just because somebody else does it, you can do it. Now, God has different modes of operation in his kingdom, but it's all for the glory. The intent is for his glory. And we get out of place when we mimic or try to do it like somebody else. Hallelujah. But or wanting what somebody else has. Thanks to God. And this is how we get washed away. And we get into these places of, we get stuck in these places when we want to do them like somebody else. Then it doesn't become authentic. Thank God for the gifts that God has placed in our lives, meaning people. But God's got something specially cut to use you in, an office or whatever the case may be. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ensign. Ensign is the title of this message. And so Isaiah is preaching about, in this chapter, a kingdom. That the true, and he's revealing the true kingdom and nature of God, not just God, but towards his people. But his people have been so steeped in things that have been taught by their forefathers, not their forefathers, but their fathers before them, because their forefathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so they had been steeped in occultism and things that were definitely God was not pleased with. And it had become so normal. That it began to flood these his people at this certain time. Oh, man. Thank God for the trailblazers. Thank God for the people that'll stand up and say, I'm going to go against the grain. Thank God for the people who have feared God enough not to fear people. People who have stood up and said, well, God, when everybody said you wasn't this, they listened to God and said, God, I'm going to believe you that you have made me that. Through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God for the ones who dare to stare disappointment in the face and laugh because they know they're of the promise seed, just like Isaac. Thank God for the ones who stare to stoop down and lower themselves that God might raise them up for the people that he has designed them to reach. Oh, God is so precious in so many ways. He is so merciful in every way. And he has dominion in all things, thank God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's read a little bit tonight. Thanks God. I'm not going to hold you too long. So in the chat, just to give you a little background, in the chapter 11, he's telling them that there's a rod. Of course, he's talking about Jesus. They didn't know, but he was telling them they'll come forth a rod and a branch that'll grow out of the roots out of Jesse, and they didn't understand that he was talking about the Spirit that David moved in. But the reality of it, being Jesus, praise God, and talking about the Spirit of wisdom, and he talked about these gifts that will lay upon this man. And because even in their practices, God was patient in their practices of the things that were against him. Oh, only God can see. Only God can be patient. God is the God of all patience. Patience. That's why he tells us patience is virtue, power. Let this thing walk out. And in the same way in our lives, we get so antsy. I'm here to tell you, we make snap judgments and snap moves because we aren't patient. But I'm here to tell you the power resides in the patience. God was patient with his people. He was patient with his word. He was patient. There's power and patience. But it's not that you're waiting. And y'all have heard this before. It's not that you're just waiting, but you're waiting in him. Because I'm telling you, when you're waiting in him, he's building you up. He is causing great. He is revealing himself greatly to you in the patience. So it is not just. So you. It's not just waiting for something to happen, or waiting for this thing you're believing God for. But God is causing you to have the mindset and the heart set to be built up to always to understand that you have dominion, that he and you have dominion. Let's read a little bit tonight. Thank you. Praise God. And I suggest you read this. This chapter is powerful. Every chapter is powerful, but this one specifically for this time is extremely poignant and extremely on point. But we're gonna move over to verse 10. But he begins to encourage them about what God has for them. He began to encourage them to look toward, first of all, turn their hearts back to God, but the things that God has for them. Because God knows the great contradictions we live in. And I say contradiction because what you see doesn't look like what God said. Contradiction. And we can live a life of contradiction. And our life will be contradictory when we really don't believe inside. Hallelujah. The contradiction comes from when we say one thing, but we really don't believe it. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Or a better word is hypocrisy. Hallelujah. Isaiah 11, verse 10. The title of this message is Inside. Inside, praise God. And he began to talk about, of course, we know, we're sitting on the side here of Jesus. Hallelujah. He talks about the righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins, and just very poetically describing the kingdom, describing Jesus, the king in the kingdom. Talked about how the spirit of wisdom and revelation flow on that, follow on the individual, meaning Jesus. And now that he is in us, it falls on, covers us too. In verse 10, I'm not going to hold you too long, thanks God. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign. Ensign. And if you did not know what the word ensign means, it's very important. In Hebrew, it's an oath, or it means a military standard. Especially a single tribe. It means a standard. It means that in Hebrew, it's the same meaning in English or Webster's Dictionary. It means the same thing in Hebrew. A sign or a standard or something that should be raised on a high pole. He says, in that day, and can I tell you that day is today, there shall be a root of Jesse, which will stand for an ensign of the people, to which shall the Gentile seek, and his rest shall be glorious. Glory. Standards are funny, because you can go into different households, different workplaces, different parts of the country, different parts of the world, and there's different standards. Meaning, some people do it this way, some people do it that way. But the Word of God, I don't care where you go, is going to be righteous and effective. I don't care where God puts you at. He can put you in the midst, praise God, of a street full of atheists. And I promise you, if that standard is alive and well in you, that street won't all be atheists much longer. Oh, you got to know these bigger things of God. And in your lineage, in your life, you know how many turns just in your generation, your mom and dad's generation, if you were blessed to see your grandfather and grandmother's generation, or see them, you'll know, praise God, that they all had an ensign, good, bad, or indifferent. But thank God, if you are saved by the grace, by the blood of Jesus, that an ensign with you. However, if that generation or that lineage was not lined up with God, I promise you, God has set the standard through you for the next generation to be blessed by. Oh, Jesus. And also, one of the things about an ensign, they were normally put on battleships. Any kind of ship, but specifically battleships. There is a mark on you. Ensign also is a mark, a distinction on you. Or i.e., as Jesus said, you are the light of the world. The light is a standard. To see it shall the Gentile seek, even the heathen will seek it. And his rest shall be glory. Watch this, saints of God. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Asra and from Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, from Shinar, from Hamath, and from the isles of the sea. Hallelujah. Can I tell you there's a second time, saints of God? Now, prophetically so, he's speaking into the second coming. I'm not even sure he knew. But if you see the flow of through Revelation and you really study the word, you understand they spoke from where they were. But because God was guiding their word, they were speaking to the future also. Oh, God is so good. When we make this thing about us or just us, or we become selfish, we missed what God is really doing. So the old T does not cross out the new T, and it's not against each other. They flow together. I'm not even sure that they see it. They had saw it at the time. But even in your life, saints of God, this is how patient and merciful God is. Because we were born, we were originally with him, born into sin, and he came a second time. Oh, how precious to recover the remnant. If you didn't know, he is a savior. He is about recovery. We lose sight of that. And even when you're saved, sometimes you can get lost, but God is still in recovering mode. Just because somebody doesn't has written you off, doesn't mean God has. He recovers the remnant. And if you see, and I'm not going to really get into all the depths of this, but if you see the places that he has poetically described here, these were all places where the remnant, where people were scattered, were driven off to. And even the ones that are out of place, God says, I got you. If you're feeling out of place tonight, God is calling you back. And he's coming to get you. Praise God. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Oh, Jesus. That is just too powerful. Judah, you know, it means praise. This was the line that Jesus came out of. And he was birthed out it. For them to be burst into it. He said, the outcasts. Y'all know that feels like not to be included. Well, I tell you, the world did you a favor by not including you in some things. Because he is faithful. And he is true. And he says what he's going to do. God needs no cosigner or justifier. He's just looking for us to believe him. And he shall set up an ensign for the nation and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now watch this. This is important because there was heavily conflict between Judah and Ephraim. And this is to bring this full circle what God was talking. He's got something specific for you, and that's himself and the blessings that flow from it. Hallelujah. The envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. He was letting them know that the divisions that were don't operate, can't operate now, because we all under one inside. Because each tribe had their different distinctions and different usages. But after a while, they became against one another, because they were setting up their own kingdoms and not under the blood and not under the covering of God. And they begin to despise one another. They begin to fight one another. So much so, each kingdom was scattered. But God said, what was scattered, I'm bringing it back together. What was lost, God said, I found it. What you have been lacking, God said, you'll lack of it no more. For this is the time that God has ushered in, and God is doing the things that God is doing in your life, the things that have plagued you, he says, these can't go on no more. The things that have divided you from him, these can't be no more. These won't be anymore. Because each tribe was scattered because, and I'm not going to go into the whole history of it, but there was separation and divisions. Because we were not of one agreement. Everybody became their own kings. And the feelings of this of the world and the feelings of themselves became God. I'm here to tell you today, thanks to God, there's a root that has come from Jesse that is creating a standard in you to overcome division, overcoming the things that are dividing you. He is setting you as an ensign, a standard, or an example. Because it is very dark and the church is under attack. Hallelujah. But the attack is not big enough. It's not bigger than the standard that he has inside of through himself. And I promise you, this true standard of Jesus Christ is rest, and it is glorious. Hallelujah, thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God had created a temple in the Old Testament. He created a temple back in the garden. Paul, so eloquently, so awesomely, broke down that we are the temples of the living God. And he created a temple. And what is the first thing he did? He blew into Adam. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because conversations with a snake weakened the temple. It didn't weaken God. So I'm here to tell you the breaches. He's sealing up the breaches today, thank God. That you can go back and you can take territory. Take that territory over for the glory of God. Because the glory, if it's in you and if it's on you, it doesn't stop where it's the glory in the grocery store. It's the glory in the pulpit, in the church. It's the glory in raising your kids. Hallelujah. There is that root in you, that same root that powerful prophet spoke about over 2,800 or 2,500 years ago. That root is in you. The reality of that word is in you through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Can I tell you today, saints of God, it's a glorious time. When God is in the midst, it's a glorious time. He defeats divisions. He defeats pornography. He defeats everything, lies, backbiting. He's defeating everything that's dividing. Hallelujah. Ephraim and Judah, enemies no more. Hallelujah. He's eliminating the things that are dividing. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to stop right there, saints of God. We're going to stop right there, I tell you. I beg you, continue to read, saints of God. Powerful, powerful text. Transitionary text. We talk about the transition, but I promise you, hallelujah. You have to have word in you to be able to transition, because he's going to take you through some desert places. He's going to take you through some dry places. And I say through, because you're not, that's not your home. He's going to take you through some tough places. You're going to make some bad decisions. You're going to make some anxious decisions. But can I tell you, he is faithful. His word will never return back to him void. Hallelujah. You're an inside to this world. And just because it's dark, that darkness cannot comprehend the light. It cannot put it out, saints of God. You're an ensign, a standard on a battleship, taking territory, warring, hallelujah, for his glory, warring, hallelujah, for his majesty, because you got a king that they don't respect. But I promise you, they can't defeat. Hallelujah. We're going to stop right there, saints of God. We're going to stop right there. I pray the word of I pray this word was a blessing to you. Once again, I'm Brother Marcus from God Ordained Ministry. Thankful and appreciative to be in fellowship, to be in assembly with God's people. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I thank God for all the ministers and all the pastors, evangelists, teachers, preachers on the line. We bless God for each and every last one of you tonight. Praise God. And we're going to pray for some people. We got some prayer warriors on the line, ready and willing, hallelujah, to labor for God's people, because they are what? They are ensign. Praise God. They are standard. Hallelujah. They are standard. Oh, Jesus. And they're warriors. Hallelujah. David told in the Psalms, he said, God, I thank you that you taught my hands to war. Praise God. And there is a war. And you are called to be blessings and called to be overcomers and deliverers. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to change the order of service tonight, because we can continue to keep going on and on. And I tell you, hallelujah. We can continue to go on, but we are going to change the order of the service tonight. But there is a small tidbit before we change the order of the service. For God said he would utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. And with the mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and he shall smite in the seven streams and make men go over dry shod. Oh, praise God. We don't have time to break that down, but he is utterly destroying the tongue of the bondage that is trying to speak into your life. That was verse 15, and I don't have time to break all that down, but, oh, man, utterly destroying it. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we bless God for you, saints of God. We're going to change the order of the service tonight. Praise God. Who's first on the line for prayer tonight?
Brother Marcus, can you pray for my friend Maureen?